Take your Bibles and turn with me, if you will, to the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, and I'm going to read beginning at verse 7. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Let us live, therefore. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. And why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, As I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our subject today, the sovereignty of God and human responsibility. In our lesson today, we're going to look at these two aspects. Whenever the sovereignty of God is set forth, the individual who does not like this truth rise up in rebellion against it. Now, you and I cannot escape the reality of the sovereignty of God. You see, God is a sovereign God. He does what he pleases, when he pleases, how he pleases, and with whom he pleases, and no man can say unto him, What doest thou? And no man can thwart his purpose. The purpose of God is being worked out, and we need to understand that very clearly. You see, even O King Nebuchadnezzar learned that God was a sovereign God, because he made this statement, and it was penned for us by the book of Daniel. Listen to it, if you will. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand, or say unto him, What doest thou? You see, this is the sovereignty of God. Now, people today, they don't like the truth of the sovereignty of God, because, you see, it puts God on the throne, and man at his footstool. And man today wants to put God at his footstool, and man on the throne. But it's just the opposite, my radio friend. One of these days, every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But at that time, it's going to be too late. Oh, how wonderful it is that we know him as our Redeemer and our friend. Now, as I mentioned before, whenever the sovereignty of God is set forth, the individual who does not like this truth rise up in rebellion against it. Their favorite cover-up or smokescreen tactic is to raise the question of human responsibility. The average unsaved religionist declares, if it is all of God, then man is a robot or like a machine. He has no freedom, whatever. The truth of the matter is this. Man is not free unless he has come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Apart from Christ, man is under the dominion of Satan. He is dominated by the course of this world, as well as by the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And this is found in Ephesians chapter 2. Let me give you an example, if I may. Why do the so-called Christian circles ape the world in its fashion, tactics, and methods? It's because they are afraid to be different. The women wear their miniskirts, the men their long hair. Together they copy the world's music, selling techniques, and its pressure in producing results in an effort to be acceptable to the average unsaved individual. The slogan has become, we will never reach them any other way. The real reason is a definite lack of the knowledge of the sovereignty of God, ignorance of God's method, and a rebellion against waiting on the Lord, because this is contrary to proud flesh. The majority of preachers, or so-called lay workers, are so-called, would lose your job, your popularity, and your prestige if you ever began to follow the Bible method of waiting on the Lord until he does the work in the heart of mankind. Yet apart from the method of God, there will be no lasting results. Let me remind every Christian worker, every preacher, every Sunday school teacher, that one day you're going to have to face your converts before God. And what will you say in that day, and what will they say to you when they are made to face the truth that their profession was not genuine but false? That will be an awful day for you and them. But remember one thing, it is coming. This easy believism and immediate decisionism won't hold up at that hour, and woe be unto you if your soul be wrong. In our lesson today, we shall set forth the reality that God's sovereignty and man's responsibility do not conflict in any way whatever. We urge you to do this. Put aside now your false conception and listen carefully as we discuss our subject for just a few moments. Look in your Bibles to Romans chapter 14 and verses 7 and 8, where we read, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or die, therefore, we are the Lord's." Here is set forth the first aspect of the responsibility of man. Man has to do with God because man lives before the Lord and one day will give an account unto him. This is a plaguing question that cannot be avoided, sidestepped, or forgotten. Man has an appointment day set this to stand before God to give an account of his or her life, the way he lived or she lived on this earth. Most of you don't like this truth, but it cannot be avoided or put away. Every individual is a moral, responsible being, accountable unto God for his deeds, words, actions, thoughts, intents, and purposes. Our text goes a little bit further in that it says, "For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God." Let me urge you to face this reality, my friend. Are you ready to meet the Lord and give an account of yourself? You are going to, and every hidden thing will be exposed, viewed, weighed, and rewarded as it deserves, no matter what it is. This is what we need to understand. Man's going to give an account unto God. The second proposition we need to set forth is this. While man is a moral, responsible being, his idea of freedom is corrupt, erroneous, and perverted. We hear much of freedom today. Individuals want freedom of this and freedom of that, so they claim. But their so-called freedom leads only into a deeper and more corrupt bondage than ever before. The reason is clear. Man's freedom is erroneous because man is in error in his thinking, in his concepts, purposes, and goals. You see, man is in the bondage of sin as well as ruled over by Satan, and man cannot free himself from this bondage no matter how hard he tries. Man is a totally depraved individual, and man belongs to Satan. Satan is the father of every individual outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet man has the idea that real freedom consists of his being able to do whatever his depraved nature desires. Example of this is seen in the following. The world today counts none miserable but the afflicted, and counts those happy who are prosperous. Yet some of the saddest, most miserable people on the earth are those who are the most prosperous as far as their prosperity is concerned. You see, the world doesn't understand it. Let's look a little bit further at man's erroneous concepts. The world counts its wisdom as that which is to be most highly prized. The more philosophy, the more learning, so-called, a person strives after, the greater will be the freedom. This is what is taught, believed, and practiced at this hour, but God had an answer to it. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 21 we read, "For after that, in the wisdom of God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than man." Finally, we see very clearly, now don't misunderstand me, finally, the world counts it liberty when men live as they please, do what they please. Are you still listening? Some of you may have the idea that I'm against education. I am not against education, but education without Christ leads only into bondage. I'm not against anything, as long as that is Christ-centered and we find Christ a purpose. And we see very clearly that makes man happy. Man without God is in prison. And man today does not understand his situation. Oh, if he did, he would turn to the Lord God of heaven. I hope you're still listening. Freedom to do as you please, what you please, and when you please is not freedom, but instead results in a worse bondage than ever before. None of us would be alive very long if this concept taught in our schools and churches would become the measure of our society. It would mean that a person could rob, kill, steal, rape, pillage, and destroy at will with no responsibility for his or her actions. This is what many want and are aiming for, but it will be a greater bondage than ever before. Now, what does real freedom consist of? Some may be asking. Real freedom consists of being delivered from the bondage of sin. The more a soul is emancipated from sin, the more he enters into a state of freedom. John 8:36 bears this out where it says, "If the Son, who is Christ, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let me illustrate that truth clearly, if I may. Jehovah God cannot lie. He cannot be tempted. Yet Jehovah God is not in bondage, but in absolute freedom. The more that man is like God, the more and greater is his freedom. Wouldn't it be a wonderful and beautiful world if all sin were gone and everyone living together were like the Lord? There would be no sin, no death, no sorrow, no temptation, no bondage. All would be contented, happy, and be satisfied. And beloved, this is what God does when he gives us his salvation. This is why the psalmist said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who healeth all thy diseases, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who satisfieth thy mouth with the good things." And we find this is true, and we find and how wonderful it is. Oh, I hope you're in that category at this hour. Beloved, one day I'm going to a place like that, where all the inhabitants will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That place is heaven. Are you going with me? Oh, I hope you are. But you're not unless you know the Lord Jesus Christ experientially as your Lord and your Savior. Now, the freedom from sin and all its ramifications comes by and through the Lord God of heaven, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. While man is responsible for what he is and what he does, man is also an accountable being before God. When and if you stand before the judgment hour of God, and you will, if you do not repent and receive Christ, you will have no one to blame but yourself for being there to be sentenced by a sentence for eternity into hell. God, in his wisdom and sovereignty, has provided a way to escape the awful judgment resting upon mankind because of his sin. This provision is the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cross of Calvary, my Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, being the Son of Man and the Son of God, died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us unto God. Therefore, one must know Christ as Lord and Savior if one is to escape this awful judgment. Now, in order to know Christ as Lord and Savior, it means that the work of the Holy Spirit will be wrought in your heart. Do you know Christ at this hour? It's not a question of do you know about Christ, but do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he your own personal Redeemer and friend? If he is not, my beloved brother or sister, then put it down. Then you are not free, but you are still in bondage, and yet you are a responsible being before God. Now, God, in his sovereignty, can save you or damn you. He holds you responsible for your sin. Yet he has provided a way in his sovereignty and in his grace. And my friend, he's provided a way for every sinner to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That sinner's got to come God's way. And God's way is repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We must repent of our sin. We must repent of who we are, what we are, the judgment we're under. And then we beg God to give us the faith. And how wonderful it is. This faith is the gift of God. It's bestowed sovereignly, freely, and majestically on those who come unto the Lord God of heaven in repentance. Now, repentance is wrought in your heart by God the Holy Spirit. And when faith comes, put it down. There's a revelation of Christ as your Lord and your Savior. And how wonderful it is to know him as your Redeemer. Oh, my friend, today, as I've said before, the greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to sit down or to redeem you by his precious blood. Do you know him at this hour? Oh, I hope and pray that you do. Now, someone might say, now, Pastor, wait a minute. Can I come to know the Lord Jesus Christ right there? Then let me ask you this question. Is God dealing with your heart? Are you a sinner before God at this hour? Oh, if you are, my friend, I tell you right now, there's a pleading in your heart for God to be merciful to you. Just come to Him just as you are. Tell Him what kind of a sinner you are. Beg Him to have mercy on you on the basis that Christ died for sinners, and you're the sinner. To your amazement, my Lord will save you. It'll be the greatest experience you can have this side of eternity. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier of the Mercies of God saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.